the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
This July 3rd edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson. Pleased to be joined by Jimmy Hyams, as we have a lot coming your way today. And it's your opportunity, as we are here at, I should say, I am here in Maynardville at the Food City, where you can come by and make sure that you're in the running for one of the two spots up for grabs as a finalist in Big Ticket 2020, is brought to you by Food City. So you can come by. We're set up right outside. If you're facing the supermarket, then we are on the right side. So before you would walk in the doors to the right, you can come by. You can see the secret word that you text in to 68683, and then you are entered for, as far as the registration for today. And we will have two finalists from today's registration. Now, it is limit one entry per remote, per household, and you must be 18 or older to participate. But I'm here in Maynardville, Jimmy Hyams from Super Secret Location, as he is back in the air chair. Jimmy, how are you?
John, I'm doing great. Can't disclose my location, but I'm doing fine. We are bunkered up and ready to roll.
So is everything set for the annual celebration? And it's amazing how it's celebrated across the country for your mother-in-law's birthday.
Well, actually, we've had to postpone it.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yeah, the fireworks display and so forth, we're just not going to have it. Want to be respectful of gatherings of people. And in fact, it's kind of interesting that where we're going to do it is we're going to just drive by my mother-in-law's house and say hi. So that's about it. But it's been a unique situation, and it also, as hot as it's going to be, she didn't want to get out much. So we've had to scale that down. Hopefully next year we'll be back in our usual situation.
All right. Well, it's amazing how she just keeps on trucking. So we wish her a very happy birthday, as well as to the United States of America. We have, of course, a great program. We're loaded as we always are, especially on the day before the 4th of July, or our last show before the 4th of July. We have Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps. He'll join us a little bit later this hour. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. He had actual real work to do on Wednesday, so he'll climb on board with us to start hour number two. And then with Steve Hamer, it will be Hamer time, but he's going to, it's going to be a matinee for the VFL. He'll join us at 4:35. And then at 5 o'clock, it'll be the start of our annual All-Star Celebration and salute to baseball. You might not be happy with the major leagues, but that doesn't mean the sport is any less great. But to start hour number three of the program, Jimmy, I came across a treasure trove. And what it is this is the 25th anniversary of the 95 team that went to Omaha. This was a half-hour program that you have radio calls, original radio calls from Mike Keith, some from 94, others from 95. You have comments from the likes of Dave Serrano, Larry Simcox, members of that 95 College World Series team. So you'll hear from Todd Helton. You'll hear from R.A. Dickey. So that'll be the first half of the 5 o'clock hour, and then we'll get into a number of fun things. We've got some classic songs in regards to baseball, some classic cuts, and, of course, some classic clips from movies in regards to baseball. So it'll be our annual All-Star Salute to the Game coming up in the second half of the program. But again, we invite you out to Food City, 4344 Maynardville Highway here in Maynardville. Get registered for the Big Ticket 2020, is brought to you by Food City.
John, we'll get to our news and notes brought to you by Image Matters, technology you need, people you can trust. The John Majors tribute will be tonight, ESPNU, 8 o'clock. Barry Rice put it together. I know it's going to be very well done if Barry Rice is doing it. And I know y'all had a chance to visit with him earlier, but I'm really looking forward to watching that tribute to John Majors tonight. Also, as far as season tickets for football, so we had Coach Fulmer that mentioned a while back that they were about 90%. Last year, Tennessee sold a little over 62,000 season tickets. And the way that works is if you are a season ticket holder and a donor, and there are season tickets still available, As a donor, you can get additional season tickets without making a donation. Well, there were about 3,000 of those last year. Season tickets went to donors without additional donations, and there were about 2,000 that did the Vol Pass. So that helped them get to 62.5 as far as season tickets. And so they're at 90% now. I don't think they've done very few Vol Passes, and I don't think the donors have actually had an opportunity to grab more season tickets, but I don't see Tennessee being able to allow as many people as they have season ticket holders. And in fact, I do believe there had been a lot of discussions about Tennessee's capacity being anywhere between 25% to 33% at Neyland Stadium. But that's going to be an interesting decision for those that have to make that decision in terms of who goes in and who goes out. Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, met before some of the U.S. Senate committee, and they were talking about the name, image, and likeness for college athletes, and he said there needs to be a federal NIL law for fairness. That's what he told the U.S. Senate committee on Wednesday. He is concerned about the number of people, the different laws in different states. Florida's law, by the way, for the NIL is supposed to take effect 1 year from now. Colorado and California for the years 2023. But according to Sankey, quote, it would be difficult and confusing, close quote, to allow 11 different state laws in the 11 states that encompass the SEC. He said that there will definitely be competition within the schools to try to one-up the other, and he said that will be a problem with fairness and equitable competition. So the NCAA, and the NCAA would like to have some say-so in what the federal law looks like, but they need to do something. And another thing that Sankey suggested, he said a strategy worth considering is to make the pre-enrollment process and the first semester off limits to NIL activity. In other words, schools cannot use the NIL to gain a recruiting advantage by saying, hey, if you come here, this is what we're going to do for you if you sign or in your first semester. He wants to try to take some of the national image, the name, image, and likeness out of the recruiting process, and that's a way that he thinks that they can try to do that. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can enact this, but and they need to do it pretty soon, and I think they're going to try to get this done sometime in January. Your thoughts on the things that Sankey said?
Well, it wouldn't be surprising if that's the route we wind up going, because I know, one, I think there is a faction that wants to make it as difficult as possible for this to clear the last hurdle. I'm not saying that's what Sankey's doing, but I just think that there are some folks that are throwing up maybe some red flags. I just think and you have to wonder whether or not how Title IX would get whether or not there's an influence on this. I think this is a market determination as opposed to fair and equal, because you have to make sure that they have the equal opportunities for both male and female athletes when they get to your campus. But I think in terms of this, when it comes to people using these athletes in the future to promote their business or attend an event or come sign autographs, I think that's something that market would determine, as opposed to it's got to be X amount of appearances for male athletes versus the Title IX inclusion or requirement, if indeed it applied. I don't think it applies. I don't think it has to be a federal law. I think it can just be an NCAA mandate. What do you think?
Oh, I don't trust the NCAA.
Well, that's a fair point.
here's the reason. See, if I don't know how I would go with that, because if the federal law comes in, then they can supersede the state. The NCAA, I don't think, can supersede a state law. That's where I think there may be an interesting situation. What I did find intriguing about this was that the panelists, including Sankey, did not set a numerical limit on the amount of money the college athletes could make. But they do want to make sure that schools and boosters are not involved in dealing with recruits to entice them on the name, image, and likeness money that they can make. In other words, if you come sign with Southern Cal, then by golly, we're going to let you work at this dealership, and you'll make $50,000 a year. Okay, or your sign is we'll take a picture of you and put it on a billboard. They want to stay out of that game, and I think that makes sense. But and then if you go market value, and you come make a speech. So I see an opportunity for a whole lot of misuse in this situation. But I also don't know the legalities of setting a limit on it, right? You're going to say, nope, you cannot make more than $5,000 on your name, image, and likeness. Now you're opening yourself up for a can of worms in a lawsuit, I think. So I don't know that there are easy answers to it.
I don't think there are, but yeah. I also think that if you attack it on the front end, meaning you have to register your business, and I mean you have to be completely transparent. You spell out everything that's going to be required of the athlete before they come to your event, place, or record the promotion or commercial for your business. I just think that that's where you could come up with a standard fee. You could come up with different things that would be easier to manage and oversee.
So could you put a limit on what the person on the billboard could get paid? Let's say he gets paid $5,000 a year, and that's the limit that he can get, although it could be less if he goes to Boise State and that guy doesn't want to pay $5,000.
I think it would be more along the lines of here is what you get in terms of different appearances. So if you came up with 12 new billboards for one every month, then you could get that one fee 12 times.
Okay. I would like to see that. I just think it's going to be hard to enact it.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But that's where they are right now with this thing. They better come up with something in the next 6 months because they're going to be doing it starting next year in some form or fashion, I would think. So we'll see. All right, we've got a five-star basketball recruit. He's a center. He's the 16th-ranked player in the country. His name is Makar Maker. He is signed with Howard over UCLA, Kentucky, and Memphis. It's interesting to see he wants to promote the head black coaches union, and so that's one reason he's going to Howard, and he's hoping that other players that are great players like him will follow suit. Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy is going to his athletic director said he needs to invest in player relationships, and oh, by the way, because of your actions, you're going to take a $1 million pay cut. So Gundy's agreed to accept that. A former Utah cornerback who spoke out against defensive coordinator Morgan Scally at Utah. Now, Scally's the one that was alleged to have used a racial slur back in 2003. Well, I shouldn't say alleged. He admitted to it. And so this cornerback came out and spoke out against him, and then he has received death threats. The cornerback's name is Ryan Lacy. Also, that coach, Scally, has been he was going to be a coach in waiting. And they have waived that. That's no longer on the table. They've also reduced his pay from $1.5 million to $550,000. So he's taken a 50% cut in pay over his actions. All right, we got the NCAA. They are discussing an 8-team bubble league in Chicago that would allow teams to play games, teams that are not in Florida to play games, kind of like a summer league. I'm not sure if I like this one because there's so many players that don't want to go to Orlando when there's a playoff berth on the line. Why would they want to go to Chicago with nothing on the line except their salary?
That's a fair point. And I think, though, that teams want to make sure that they simply have the opportunity to not go 9 months without playing and competing. You take a look at what would be the end of the season if we don't have any hiccups. You're talking about, I guess, towards the end of October, and then you would have the season, as they say, perhaps starting around Christmas. And if that were indeed the case, the 8 teams that aren't in Orlando or get to play any of the regular season games to conclude the season, they would have gone 9 months without competing. So I think that this is a compromise, potentially.
Yeah. By the way, I misspoke earlier. Historically black colleges and universities, that's what Howard is, and that's where the recruit ended up going. All right, a couple of other notes. Cam Newton, so I thought these numbers were interesting. When I first saw that he signed with New England, it said that his incentives could go up to $7.5 million. So I thought, well, wait a minute, what is his base? His base is $1.05 million, and he's guaranteed $550,000. Now, in a rare case where I agree, Cam Newton said it's not about the money. It's about respect. Well, in this case, I would agree with that. It is not about the money. Most times when people say that, it is about the money. There will be 36 players that will be making more per game than Cam Newton's year long salary, and 15 of those are quarterbacks. And again, the base is $1.05 million for Cam Newton. New England has committed less money to the quarterback position than any team in the NFL. When you look at their entire roster, which includes going five deep on the quarterback list, it's $4.2 million for all quarterbacks on the roster. How about that? FedEx has also requested the Washington Redskins to change their name, and the Redskins are going to do so. Daniel Snyder said they're looking at it. It's not been official to change, but there's no doubt they're going to go in that direction and change the name of the Redskins to what, I don't know, but they are going to change it. John, another note with the NFL, they may fine players for virus violations. In other words, if you're involved in off-field activities that help spread the virus, you can get fined. That includes going to eat at restaurants. I think this one might be pretty hard to enforce. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, because they are talking about being able to implement fines for, as you said, either reckless behavior or COVID virus protocol violations. I just wonder if there are parameters to going to a restaurant to eat, or just the simple act of going out would be something. Because I think as long as you take care of what you are supposed to take care of and meet any requirements by the institution, or I should say the business and your, I guess, state and local governments, I don't know why you would be in trouble, but you never know in this day and time.
Well, I think you make a fair point. So if you go to a restaurant, they're practicing social distancing, and you've got your party of four, which is your family, and you're not within 8 or 10 feet of somebody else, that should be okay. But if you're at a restaurant bar and there are 400 people packed into the restaurant, then you got a problem. So, I think that's a fair point. Just a couple other notes out there. The basketball tournament, 24 teams, 10 days, single elimination in Columbus, Ohio. It starts on Saturday, but already three teams have withdrawn. And the Rocket Mortgage Tournament in Detroit. So how about this? Scott Stallings off to a great start. He was tied for the lead yesterday after a 7-under 65. He is even through seven holes today, so he's at 7-under par. And Peter Malnati of Knoxville, he shot a 66 on Thursday. He is 2-under through seven today. That puts him 8-under for the tournament. So both of them having outstanding tournaments so far. And Bryson DeChambeau, who's hit a couple of bombs of over 350 yards during this tournament, he's at 11-under par. The leader is Chris Kirk. Chris Kirk doesn't live in Knoxville anymore, but he was born here. He's at 13-under par, and he's having an outstanding tournament so far. One other note, Duke women's coach Joanne McCauley has retired. 13 years at Duke. She won 330 games there. She won 646 total at Michigan State and Maine included. She had 1 year left on a contract, but she is out. She has left Duke with 1 year left on her contract. And, of course, that's where for many years our great friend Al Brown was an assistant coach. Those are News and Notes brought to you by Image Matters.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Again today, Sports Talk, at least my part of it, is here in Maynardville at Food City, 4344 Maynardville Highway. We invite you out. Take advantage of the opportunity to text the secret word, which we have set right here on our table, to 68683. You'll be entered into the Big Ticket 2020, is sponsored by Food City, and we will have two finalists from today's registration. And when we're talking about the grand prize, it hasn't changed from 1 year to the next. It is season tickets for Tennessee football, Vols and Lady Vols basketball, parking passes as needed, and then for both football and basketball. You also have Tennessee baseball, Tennessee softball. You've got Ice Bears tickets, Titans tickets, and a VIP opportunity and game experience with VFL Eric Ainge and Brian Rice. So the only place you can register this afternoon is when you swing by here, Food City, 4344 Maynardville Highway, and find the word to text to 68683. This is Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
99.1 The Sports Animal. It sounds just as good on your car radio as it does while you're working. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Yeah. with Jimmy Hines. I'm John Wilkerson. We are here in Maynardville at Food City. It's the Big Ticket 2020 presented by Food City, and we're at the Maynardville location, 4344 Maynardville Highway. Come by, you'll see the secret word that you text to 68683. That gets you registered between, and you have to do that between 3 and 7. And then we'll have a drawing after the show is over, and we'll have two finalists from today's registration. Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps will join us a little bit later this hour, but why don't we say hello to Jim, who joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Jim.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
I like the bumper music, John.
Well, that's Sam Foreman doing a wonderful job.
You know, I think one of the most one of the greatest renditions of a patriotic song in an incredible setting was Lee Greenwood doing God Bless the USA at halftime of the Sugar Bowl in January 1st of 86. That was about as good as it ever will get, I think.
That was strong.
You guys were talking about name, image, likeness, and I've had this question for a long time. What do you guys think it can do, may do, to team morale in terms of star quarterback or star running back or star receiver making X amount of money on their NIL and X offensive guard it making much, if anything, at all? What's your sense of what it could do to morale? Because before this, everybody came in on the same footing in terms of benefits. They got a scholarship. What's your thoughts on that,
John?
Anytime money's involved, you can have hurt feelings, and so I'm not saying it would be guaranteed, but I would think that it would be probably more common than people would hope for it to be.
Yeah, I think there'll be some hurt feelings, too. There'll be some dissension in the ranks. You hope that it doesn't impact the performance on the field. But, there'll be some folks that are not going to be happy about it. Because, look, we all know that 85 people on the football team, not all of them are going to get any name, image, and likeness revenue. And if you're a quarterback and you're getting some of that, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to spread the wealth as best you can. Take those offensive linemen out for lunch or whatever. But I do think there's going to be an issue there, and then it could spill over into other sports. Let's say men's basketball gets it, and they've got five players on the men's basketball team that are getting endorsements, but none of the women are. They're probably not going to like that. So I think there'll be some jealousy and some hurt feelings.
Well, you've always had the potential because football's a team sport with a lot of different players and personalities. You've got star positions. You know, obviously, the so-called skill positions have always gotten more notoriety through, you know, publicity, interviews, and so forth, and then offensive linemen or second and third teamers and so forth. That's always been there and always been a possibility of having some hurt feelings. But, boy, when you throw in the money angle, as John, you say, man, oh, man, that is just it's one more thing that a coach is going to potentially have to, you know, work with or have to deal with amongst the team. But, boy, you guys raised an awful lot of questions that do not have easy answers. It's kind of scary in a way. It's one thing to say we need to, you know, give these guys money. But, boy, when you get down to the details, I don't know what's going to happen. But we'll see. Anyway, well, guys, I enjoyed your conversation with it, and I wish you an outstanding 4th of July weekend.
Be safe and well,
you too, Jim.
Thank you very
too, guys.
Much.
Take care.
You as well. We'll get a break. Again, Sports Talk today is at the Maynardville Food City for the Big Ticket 2020 presented by Food City. They've got their Q smoked meats available this weekend here. That'll take all the pressure and perhaps a long day at grilling as they've got it taken care of right here, right now. Swing by our table. You can pick up the word that you text to 68683. We'll have two finalists from today's registration that takes place between now and 7 o'clock. It's Sports Talk in Maynardville at the Food City for Big Ticket 2020. Up next, Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps joins us on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Well, American man,
Talk continues with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson, and I'm here in Maynardville at Food City for the Big Ticket 2020 presented by Food City. You can come by, see where we are set up, which if you are facing the front of the store, we are the entrance to the right. You can come by, see what word you're supposed to text to 68683. Do that, and you could be one of two finalists for the Big Ticket from today's registration. And we go now to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as we get to say hello to our good friend Jesse Smithy, who was kind enough to jump on with us earlier this week when everything was swirling about high school football and exactly how it might look in the fall after Governor Lee extended the emergency order through the end of August. He joins us again. Jesse, how are you?
Doing well. Y'all having to work today?
We are. They made you work on your birthday. So
I know. The TSSAA did. They just decided to schedule that meeting smack dab in the middle of my birthday, and so we sat there and listened to some debate for a couple of hours, and even a Zoom meeting after that. So it was a big day, and as much criticism as the TSSAA garners for some of the decisions that it makes through the years, I can do nothing but tip my cap to Bernard Childress and his staff for being able to piece together plans to present to the Board of Control in less than 48 hours. That extension by Governor Lee caught everybody off guard, media, coaches, executives at the TSSAA. They had no idea that was coming. And that meeting Wednesday was supposed to be about classification. And so I think the TSSAA staff deserves a lot of credit from media that have criticized it, from fans who have criticized it, coaches, whoever, to get something in place for the Board of Control to talk about. They talked about it for 90 minutes on Wednesday, and they're going to get back together next week and decide on a course of action for this coming fall and what football may look like this fall. And all that is assuming that the governor does not extend the executive order past August 29th. And there's even outside hope that the governor may repeal this when it comes to high school football and lump high school football into the same category as college football and pro sports. And if he does that, we'll get to start high school football on time. So there's hope out there, and there's direction and leadership, and maybe we didn't have that back in March, but we have it right now.
One of the things that I was most impressed with, Jesse, is that as they presented the options for football, and they also discussed an option for girls soccer, they also made sure it's like, we're not voting on this today. We want this to be considered, and then we'll get back and we'll reconvene. And so they didn't want a knee-jerk reaction. They want this to be well thought out, have a solid plan, and I'm sure it's because they want everybody on the same page, right?
Yes, and also members of the Board of Control represent a specific region of the state. So it's imperative that they take that information that they saw Wednesday for the very first time, to take that back to its area of the state, talk to as many football coaches and girls soccer coaches as possible, talk to administrators and officials, and just get as much feedback as they can to make the proper decision. But as Stephen Hargis and I discussed yesterday in a podcast, Stephen Hargis is a prep editor, longtime prep editor down in Chattanooga. The people on the Board of Control really have to be careful, because this is a short-term type of football plan for the fall, and what might benefit one school is not going to benefit another with a different plan. So at some point, these Board of Control members are going to have to take a step back and look at this with unbiased eyes, and even though they've gotten as much feedback as possible, and really take a glance at what would be the best route for high school football this fall, what would be the most compelling during the regular season, what would be the most gratifying during the playoffs, and there's a couple different options they could go with.
Jesse, why does the order from Governor Lee, the state of emergency order, apply to the TSSAA and not to colleges?
I wish I knew. I wish I could get a hold of somebody from that office and get some answer from that. The only thing I can think of, Jimmy, is that there's just when you put high school football and juxtapose it against college football in Tennessee, just within the borders, you're talking somewhere around 300, 400 high school football teams. We're not at that amount for college football. So maybe it's harder to govern It's harder to make sure everybody's adhering to the guidelines and making sure that their players are getting temperature tested and just all the regulations that have to be met. It's so much harder for high school football than it is to do that for college. And so that's the only thing that I can come up with as an educated guess. But Bernard Childress and his staff feel very confident that they can put on a season every bit as easy, if not better, than college football. That's his words. And basically because putting on a high school game is not as difficult as a college football with all the fans and all the staff that's needed for a high school game. So one of the things they can't do as well, and that's testing for COVID. Those tests cost upward around $100 a piece, Bernard Childress said. And he said a lot of schools can't necessarily afford that as easily as colleges can. So it's a big decision for the governor to look at and his office to look at and see if we can pull off a high school football season beginning in mid-August without a threat of seeing a huge case and spike in cases. And we'll see what happens with that.
Which of the three options do you like best, the seven-game regular season, the eight-game, and the nine-game? And then with these options, if you play seven games, more teams are in the playoffs, eight games, fewer teams, nine regular season games, even fewer teams. Which of those three options do you like best?
I like the second option where you have an eight-game regular season. I think that still gives the feeling of a full array of games. And then you start the playoffs in the second round. So basically you leapfrog all those blowout losses that we typically see in the no drama of the first round. Your region champions and your region runner-ups would be the only teams to advance into the playoffs. And there's a lot of familiarity with that type of plan around here. That's what they used to do kind of back in the day here so in the state. So there's a lot of people that are in favor of that. And still, if you don't qualify for the playoffs, under that second play-in, you're still allowed to host up to two quote-unquote bowl games. And what that could possibly do is continue to prepare your team for the 2021 season, the offseason, maybe generate a few more income dollars for your program. And so there's a lot of stipulations in there that could really benefit teams even if they don't make the playoffs.
Our guest, Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps, as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Jesse, it was, you know, there was so much discussion after the emergency order was extended, and then so much consideration when we got to hear the options that are being discussed and considered. And then all of a sudden, it was something to see that it would, you know, I personally saw it from Oak Ridge, then again from Fulton, but it was, hey, we're going to go right back to practicing the way they were before the dead period. There's nothing that says teams can't practice at this point in time with the parameters that were set prior to this, correct?
Correct. So basically, when the dead period ends this weekend and teams resume practice on Monday, you're going to see a lot more conditioning and weightlifting, and that's probably ideal given that a lot of teams have had a late start. And when you look across the state, teams in Shelby County and inner city Memphis still aren't going to be allowed. We still don't know when those teams are going to even be allowed to start weightlifting and conditioning. So I mean, it's still feasible, guys, that as we get close to the start of a high school season, that some teams just won't participate. And Bernard Childress, the executive director of the TSSAA, addressed that Wednesday in the meeting, that we're still going to go forward. If there's an area of the state that's just going to choose not to let its teams play, we're not going to just shut this whole thing down because that area can't. And so that's going to be an interesting thing, the storyline to follow as we get into the midweeks of July and latter weeks of July, to see if some of these programs like Whitehaven and whatnot have even begun their football preparation.
As you also spelled out, as you were sharing all the different options throughout the course of the week, especially right at the time that we saw the extension, there are a handful of sports that they're going on as scheduled at the time that they're expecting to go. And what did you think of the option for girls soccer that was presented?
Yeah, well, first off with girls soccer, I thought it was a little disappointing at first that we didn't get as much detail when you're talking about when the season would start, when practices could start, things like that, as much as we got for football. Now, just reading on the surface, it's pretty easy to see why. I mean, football is the bell cow of the state of Tennessee, and much more effort was going to be put into that. Bernard kept talking about how easy it is to make adjustments to their season and how in girls soccer, they don't have to, by law, by TSSAA laws, they don't have to play every region team. And so that's just kind of up to the respective regions how they're going to seed for playoffs. So if they don't want to play any region games, they don't have to, and they can figure out a way to seed their teams for the postseason. So I think that's why you didn't see as many detailed options for girls soccer. I think they're going to extend that, push it back by a couple of weeks so that they can start when the executive order is lifted, and they'll still be able to have a full regular season, a full postseason, and championship week. So initial reaction was kind of disappointment, but the more I learned, the more I understood why. But you mentioned some of the other sports. All sports such as golf, volleyball, and cross country are deemed kind of non-contact, non-threatening in response to the COVID threat. So those are still being able to proceed as normal. So when the dead period ends this weekend, soccer or volleyball teams, golf teams, cross country teams can continue their preparation as if the season were going to start on time. And for right now, their seasons will start on time. And for golf, that comes pretty much in late July now.
Jesse, what are your thoughts on the hiring in Greenville of their defensive coordinator over the last 4 years, Eddie Spradlin?
Yeah, Eddie's a great guy and somebody I've gotten to know over the last handful of years or so. And he's a guy that grew up here in East Tennessee, went to Powell, played sports up at Tusculum College. And so he knows that area, that East Tennessee area well, knows Greenville well, has been a part of that program for 13 years. So he saw the rise under Kane Ballard. He's been there through four championships and a state runner-up, and he was defensive coordinator during those championship seasons in 2017 and 18. And there are many who believed that he was going to be Kane Ballard's successor when Kane Ballard resigned a year and a half ago. So this is a chance for Eddie Spradlin to really prove himself as a head coach. There are a lot of people that I talked to that were in favor of taking that interim tag off of him when Dan Hammonds resigned in early June, and he's going to get that chance. So I think it was a very smart hire by the Greenville administration to have somebody there who's been there during the championship years, who the kids respect, who knows how things work in the classrooms and in the hallways at Greenville, and what the standard is going to be. And when you have a defensive coordinator who's also your strength and conditioning guy, that means he's a high-energy guy. He's going to bring it every day. Very rarely do you come across a defensive coordinator / strength and conditioning coach who just doesn't have it that day. They always have it. And that's the kind of energy that you need to keep a Greenville program going.
What did you think of the soccer being canceled? They were going to have that 48 schools were going to play in Gatlinburg July 9 to 11 and the 13th through the 15th. I know the coaches around the state were excited about that. Your thoughts on them having to cancel that?
I thought it was a novel idea to have that, and anytime you're able to get kids an opportunity to compete, it still wasn't going to be the same. Would it have garnered a lot of media attention and hype, and would we deem those championships acceptable? I doubt it, but it was still a great idea to give these kids one last opportunity to do that. And so I'm sure they're disappointed. A lot of effort went into that by Zach Schrant, who's out there at Gatlinburg Pittman. And you talk about high-energy guys on football. He's a high-energy guy in soccer, and so much positivity and effort went into that by him. And just got to applaud them for their efforts, and I hope that those kids get an opportunity to showcase their skills on the next level somehow.
Jesse, while there has been so much discussion, and rightly so, about high school football, there's also continues to be news. It looks like Kentucky baseball is kind of setting up shop in East Tennessee, isn't it?
They are. They got another commitment from Farragut program, as Tanner Kim is going to be going out there. And Tanner Kim may not be a household name yet. He probably would have been if they'd gotten to play this past season. And so his numbers career-wise is not going to shock anybody or go, wow, you know, why didn't Tennessee get that guy? And he's still relatively an unknown outside of the local baseball circle. He's definitely going to be a guy to watch in the future, and just, you know, happy for him. And again, that kind of Farragut pipeline continues to feed players into Kentucky a little bit. Ryan Hagenow will be going up there, and that's a huge get for Kentucky that he didn't go in the first round of the draft or the draft a couple weeks ago, and so it's setting up nicely for the Wildcats.
We had the opportunity yesterday as he's going through a quarantine process. He's got a fantastic opportunity. What do you think? How excited are you for Philip Pfeiffer and what's in front of him and what's within reach with the Atlanta Braves?
I mean, his story, his life story from the since he's left high school has been a roller coaster. And to see him on an upswing and to have an opportunity to make it with the Braves, I mean, here was a guy who was kind of struggling as a reliever, and they sent him down to single A to try his hand at being a starter, and he starts flourishing as a starter. And of course, everybody here knew him as a starter, what he was able to do at Farragut High School. And he's just kind of found his groove again, found his confidence again, and found that pop out of his arm again. And it's just awesome to see him. I think everybody had him pegged, him and Nicky Delmonico, as just future Major League Baseball stars coming out of high school. They were all Americans and were chosen to play in all these games. And it's taken a different road for Philip Pfeiffer, and that happens in life. I think we can all attest to that. And so it's great to see him on his feet and headed in the right direction, and I just wish nothing but the best for him.
What will folks find right now at 5starpreps.com?
Well, we're going to take a little break on the 4th, and then when we come back, we'll resume our season previews. We'll have media day coming up Friday next week out of Three Ridges, and so we'll have a lot of video content from that and written content as well. And we've had to delay a few things that we were going to release this week because of what happened with the Board of Control and the state office and from the governor. So we'll roll out a few of those pieces next week, and so we'll be right back in full swing. Even though football may not start on time, we're still going to prepare like it is.
Did you have a good birthday?
I did. Even though I had to work for, you know, 5 or 6 hours on that day, I was still able to have a little fun on my birthday, so not too bad.
Wonderful. Well, belated happy birthday to you. And, of course, folks can still take advantage of the birthday celebration at 5-Star Preps. But, Jesse, have a great 4th, a safe 4th, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, guys. You too.
Thank you. Jesse Smithy of 5-Star Preps joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We'll get a break and be back to wrap up this first hour of Sports Talk today at Food City in Maynardville. Come get registered for Big Ticket 2020 presented by Food City. Find the secret word, text it to 68683. You'll be registered and you'll have a chance to be one of two finalists when we have today's registration. You must enter before 7 o'clock. This is Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Only one radio station makes your workday a little more manageable.
Only one station is 99.1. The Sports Animal.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success. From my head down.
Final
to
segment
boots
of this first hour of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, and I'm out here with our crack engineer Chris Bernard, as we're here at Food City in Maynardville, where you can come by, see the secret word that you're to text to 68683. It's part of today's registration for the Big Ticket 2020 presented by Food City, and we'll have two finalists from today's registration. You must enter or have your text sent before the end of the show, 7 o'clock, but you can come on out, text to 68683, and you could be a finalist. But, Jimmy, we weren't able to catch up with John McClain on Wednesday, but plenty to talk about in regards to the NFL, correct?
Absolutely. There's a situation with the Redskins. There's Cam Newton. There are a lot of other notes about the NFL, so we look forward to getting John's take on those.
He joins us next on 99.1, The Sports Animal.